Welcome to the Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast, inside the business, buzz, and brilliance of Black entrepreneurs. Here is your host, Dr. Frances Richards.
What happens in Vegas goes all over the world on Black Entrepreneur Experience, episode number 369. Thank you for joining us as we elevate the Black Entrepreneur Experience by interviewing CEOs, thought leaders, innovative thinkers, and Black entrepreneurs across the globe. I'm your host, Dr. Frances Richards. Are you a small business owner struggling to stay afloat and scrambling for answers due to inflation and economic uncertainty? Our next guest, known as the Small Business Guru, is helping small business owners to weather the storm by offering important advice and strategy for financial increase and productivity. She's also raising our future leaders. Welcome, Tiffany Ford.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. How are you today?
I'm perfect. Thanks for asking. I've given our audience such a brief bio. Why don't you fill in the gaps? Share with our audience what you want them to know about you and all of your businesses.
Sure. My name is Tiffany Ford. I am a native Philadelphian. I was born and raised in West Philadelphia. I have been formerly known as the childcare guru, and I've become the small biz guru just in my quest to help small business owners, like you said, develop and grow their businesses. I actually am a self-made entrepreneur. I started at a very young age. I was 23, fresh out of college, and I decided that I wanted to follow my passion, which was children and entrepreneurship as well. So I started a home daycare. I actually started right in my home with six children as a childcare provider for the overnight care. While I was doing social work in Philadelphia, I came out of school with an education degree, but decided to go into social work because of the time frame that I graduated. And I actually liked it, but I knew that I didn't want to leave childcare alone. So I started out of my house with six children, and eventually my business just grew. And I know what principles that it took to grow the business, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But as the business grew, I eventually wound up having five large centers in Philadelphia. I have over 150 children in my care at this moment. And then outside of that, another passion that I had was taking my passion of the art. When I was raised in Philadelphia, my mom instilled the arts in me at a young age. I was a dancer, and I decided to open a performing arts academy to then encourage youth in my community to engage in the arts other than the things that they see in the streets. And it's really been making a move in Southwest Philadelphia. Our children are now pre-professionals training in dance, theater, and vocal. So it's a really amazing journey to watch. And it evolved to people beginning to ask me, well, how'd you do it? How did you get here? How did you grow this business from your home and end up here? And that's when I became the small biz guru. And I decided to take that same passion that I had and teach others how to turn their passion into a paycheck. And it has been working for me, and it's something that I love to do. I love to share the information that I've learned along my journey with others and answer any questions and feedback or provide any feedback that I can give as well.
How did you raise the capital to start your business?
That's a very good question. When I came out of college, I had a savings already. I had just from working in college, I knew that when I got out, I wanted to do something with this savings. I was not sure. So when I came out of college, just from working, I was able to save quite a bit of money. For a college student, saving $15,000 meant a lot. You know what I mean? Especially during times where college students really were scratching and surviving. But, you know, I was able to really budget and focus all 5 years. When I came out with about $15,000 to $16,000 of my own money. As I began to start my family childcare, that was probably the lowest investment that I could have to start a family childcare. I used that money and I continued to work. So any money that I was bringing in, I was saving while I kept my other income coming in so that I could sustain my lifestyle and just the basic needs of my family. Once I got to the point where I could open another center, again, I followed the same method. I continued to invest my money, but I continued to work and save. That was my thing. So at that point in time, I didn't know nothing about business credit. I didn't know how to establish it. I didn't know anything about it. So when I say I literally started from brick and mortar, I was brick and mortar. No credit, no lines of credit, and just basic financial literacy discipline was a big part in sacrifice. And that is something that I emphasize to even my small business owners now. A lot of the times when they're trying to grow, they're like, well, where did you get the money from? Of course, you can get a line of credit. It's, you know, your thing and you have great credit. But if you don't have that, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take determination. And it's definitely going to take discipline and you for you to save for whatever your startup cost will be.
Tiffany, talk about your mentors, because what's interesting, most college students come out of college with debt. Yes. You came out of college with a savings. Who trained you or taught you to do that?
My mother. Absolutely. My mother taught me from day one. Listen, when you go get a job, you have to put this amount in your savings. You can use this amount for your bills and you can use this amount for your fun. And I've literally kept that thought process in my head. It started at a young age. So it definitely started with my mom. And just a good upbringing and parental guidance and support. So I know that that's not something that everybody has, and I don't take it lightly. But when somebody is giving you that information and somebody is trying to explain it to you, I just want people to listen, because it works. And it is a strategy that works to this day, no matter how much money you have or don't have.
When we logged on, your name says Little Leaders. Tell us about that.
Yes. So Little Leaders is my learning academy, but this is actually LLPAA, which is my performing arts academy, which I spoke about earlier. It's Leaders and Legends Performing Arts Academy. And this is actually our drama hoodie. So I'm really excited about it because we're growing this program. So I wear this hoodie all the time, because every time I wear it, somebody asks me, well, what's that? I love to tell them. Leaders and Legends is a direct initiative just to get the arts involved in art with our children. Again, I work with children ages 6 to 17. And in these programs, the children are bought in not knowing anything about the art and arts. And we expose them to everything for the first 2 years. They receive vocal art training, they receive dance training, and they receive our theater arts program. After the first 2 years, we ask them to decide, okay, what is it that you want to focus on? What do you have an interest in? And we're able to kind of see it too. And then we hone in on whatever skill it is that they have, whether it's vocal, dance, or drama. After that, they train for 10 months a year. We work from September all the way to June. During the course of the year, there's several opportunities for them to perform, engage in performance opportunities, which is a whole adrenaline rush for the children. They love that. And then they also had the opportunity to do a huge production at the end of the year. This year, we're actually going to be doing The Lion King Jr. We've done that before as well. So that's what our children are preparing for. And the parents, they come out and they support and they understand the impact that the arts have on their youth. Some things that the parents are seeing are they're seeing their kids are more disciplined. They're seeing that their children are more motivated. They're more driven. They're goal focused, because now they're learning how to solve problems in a different way and solve different, be in different situations socially. It's just an amazing experience. And that program literally grew from about 16 children. And we are very, I guess, close-knit about who we can accept. We can't accept everybody, but we work with about 100 children in Philadelphia, teaching them the arts. And it's just an amazing journey. It really has been. And it's all about just knowing your passion. That's what it is, your passion.
And if someone is interested in that, the Performing Arts Academy for their child, how can they connect with you?
That's a great question. Very simple. We're on the web. You can go to leadersandlegendspac.com. We have more information about our programming, or you can even follow us on Instagram, which is leadersandlegends_PAA. And you can find us right there. You'll see information about our programming. Our link is in our bio. It gives you information about enrollment, or if you would like us to come and do performance for you, information on how to book a performance is there as well.
Let's talk about legacy. When it's all said and done, Tiffany, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a risk taker. I've always been a person that's not afraid to follow my passion. Even when people have told me, you're crazy, that's not going to happen, because it happens all the time. Like, you know, I'll share my dreams with people and they'll be like, really? Like, what made you want to do that? You know, and they'll ask those questions, but I know that that's my passion. I want to be known as that person that wasn't afraid to go after what she wanted. And I think that I'm accomplishing that every day of my life at this moment. I also want to be remembered as a person who gives information, who's not afraid to help people, who's not afraid that the next person is going to steal their shine, because I see that a lot. Sometimes people hold on to information because they simply just don't want anybody else to win. That's not me. I want my people to win. I want to see our people grow. I want to see them be confident in what they have to offer or the services and skills that they can offer other people. So if I could leave that legacy, then I left my mark.
Fill in the blank. Thank you, pandemic, because.
That is a good one. Thank you, pandemic, because you made me realize that I have to create a business that could sustain throughout any circumstance, whether I'm here, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in the physical location. I had to change up all of my practices because of pandemic, especially with the childcare facility. I have a preschool program, a legitimate preschool program through the state of Pennsylvania, but in which we were required to provide virtual learning to preschoolers. So learning how to operate virtually was key. Like, I mean, I literally had to change up my financial systems, my bookkeeping systems, my communication systems, because usually at daycare, you're used to coming in, seeing the people face to face, understanding that, hey, you know, I know that mom, she knows me, we have a connection because we see each other every day. But building that connection outside of seeing each other every day has really helped me grow my business. We're now using different parent engagement apps. We're now using different software just to stay in touch, whether they see me or not. It's really been really crazy transition, but I am so thankful for it because I see the growth now in my company just from putting those practices in place.
Advice you wish you had followed?
That's a really good question. First of all, let me start by saying I am a person that respects wisdom, period. So if you give me advice 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to follow it. I might switch it up and make it work for me. But if there was one thing that I did not follow that I wish I would have, it was being careful about hiring friends and family. And I thought that I was a person that was like, oh, no, we'll be fine. You know, everything's going to be good. But plenty of people told me ahead of time, be careful about who you allow in your space. And because I am so giving and because I do want to help everybody, when I first got started, you know, there were plenty of people saying, I want to work with you. But their vision, although they wanted to give me that time, their vision was not aligned with mine. And it became an issue of, okay, I got to pull from you because you're not really giving me what I want, because you're really not understanding what I want, because all you wanted to do was you wanted the job, you wanted the money, but I have to have people that are aligned with my vision, that are working my brand. And I don't divert from that anymore. It took me years to learn that lesson. And once I got it, things have been really, really picking up. Protecting your vision at all costs. That's what it is.
I like that. Thank you for that. What is your zone of genius?
I would think that I'm a business strategist. I'm really, really strong in receiving the problem, dissecting the problem, meaning understanding its strengths, where the strengths are in your issue, where the weaknesses are, and then assessing what we need to do to get over that hump and finding out whether it be integrating with other people and networking, whether it be strategizing in a sense of really understanding what steps need to be taken to grow your business. I'm really strong in those areas, and that's where my strengths are. And people, I'm good with people. I'm a people person.
You alluded to the principles of starting a business. Drop us some value bombs.
Yeah. When you're starting a business, again, I'm going to stress passion, passion, passion. I found that sometimes people go into business for the revenue that it can bring, and that's fine. That's what passive income opportunities are for. You know what I mean? But when you're really starting a business that you want it to grow and cultivate, it has to be something that you're passionate about. It should be something that you're good at naturally, something that you're good at and you've had to work for, but nonetheless, you have a passion for it, because that passion is going to be the only thing that drives you when things get rough. There are going to be so many rough days and rough patches in growing a business, but that passion is going to be the thing that keeps you motivated. Another thing that I want to say is make sure that you have a strong mentor in business. You may have a lifestyle mentor, a lifestyle coach, or things like that, but you want a strong business mentor in the industry that you're going for. So in my case, you know, I started out with childcare. I actually started with a mentor, a sister, a friend of mine. Her sister was a childcare provider. I had nowhere to go, no other avenue or nobody else to help me. But she really helped me by getting my foot in the door, understanding what I should and should not be focusing on, and understanding how to make my passion into a real business. And so I would definitely say connect with a mentor. Those two things are key when starting. I know that another thing is money. I think now, you know, being a more experienced business owner, I think money is key. I don't think that you necessarily need to have a whole ton of money to start a company. But you do have to have enough savings to back you during those times when things are going to get rough. A lot of the times, like I said earlier, we pull from our personal funds to try to grow our business. And honestly, money is what grows these businesses fast. So you have to have a stream of income in order to start. And I don't agree with just starting on a whim. I do think that you should have some money, whether it be cash money or whether it be a loan, whatever it is, you definitely need money and a pot of money to at least provide you with at least 3 to 6 months of attainment for your company.
There are so many brands and businesses that are dominating. Talk about a brand or a business that's dominating that you admire and why.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, I'm loving the healthcare industry. The home healthcare industry is definitely a brand that I think is growing substantially, not only because of the income that it produces for the business owner, just because of the need. Our elder people are definitely in need of companionship, that companion care and just home health care and help self-help skills at home are really, really needed in our communities, especially our Black communities. And I see a lot of growth in that. I do value it and I do see its sustainability. I think companies that provide sustainability over the course of time will always win. So that's childcare, home health care, things of that sort are definitely things that I think are reputable and something that I admire.
If you lost everything and you had to rebuild in 30 days, what industry would you rebuild and why?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go ahead to say I would probably go with the healthcare as well. Again, you have guaranteed income coming in. That's number one. You always want something that's going to be guaranteed income. Anything that can be supplemented by the state as far as your insurances, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, I would definitely build in that industry. I would also build in childcare. I would stay in childcare again, because there's a need. It's a need-based business. Anything where there's a need for you, you're going to be able to make it.
Are you doing the home healthcare industry now?
I actually just got my foot in the door. We've actually been licensed. I am fully licensed. I have not started marketing yet, but we are in the process. So within the next 6 months, you will see some Tiffany Small Biz things going up with home healthcare. And the name of the company will be Stages Community Healthcare.
Congratulations. Thank you for letting us
no problem.
Crack open the secret.
Yes, that was definitely a secret. And yes, I am moving towards healthcare.
I want you to have a monologue. I want you to talk about this person, living or not. They've inspired you so much. Mm. Name the person and what are you saying to or about that person?
That's a really good question. I would say that, it would be my mother. And I'm talking to her, right? All right. So, Mom, I have watched you work effortlessly to provide a lifestyle for your children, even during times when it was very difficult. Although you weren't an entrepreneur, you were an educator. And it did provide me with the wanting to help themselves. The value that you gave people and you showed people in their lives was absolutely amazing. There is not a day that goes by that I don't say someone doesn't reach out to me and say, tell me about the difference that you made in their lives. And I just want to be as great as that. So my mother is definitely that person. She is absolutely a phenomenal woman. She's amazing. She's just a hard, hard worker. She was a school teacher, later a school administrator. And just seeing the impact that she made on our youth was absolutely amazing. Just seeing what these youth came to be. They were from impoverished neighborhoods. Many of them have came and said to my mom, you were the reason why I decided to go into this field. You were the reason why I decided to pursue my dreams, because she believed in them. Just being able to believe in somebody means a lot, and it adds a whole lot of value to someone who genuinely doesn't have confidence in themselves.
So say her name. What's your mom's name? Shout out to
Sandra
her.
Sandra Ford. Hey, Mom.
So we want to thank Sandra Ford for being an edupreneur.
Yes, yes, yes. And encouraging her children just to do whatever it is that makes them happy. Sometimes you have parents that are like, oh, why would you want to be an entrepreneur? That's not going to bring you any money. Why would you do that? My mom never did that. She was just like, okay, you want to do it? Go for it. You know what I mean? So what's happening today? How's it going? Checking in. That accountability was there with my mom. And I really think she laid a great foundation for me and my sisters. My other sister went on to become a school principal as well. And my other sister is a writing editor for Forbes magazine. So I think that we're doing some pretty amazing things. And she was definitely the catalyst for that. So
that's awesome. So we just really commend your mom for being a strong, amazing mother. So that's awesome. Yes. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
What brings you joy?
My family. My family brings me joy. It's kind of crazy because it's funny and just a personal story. You know, I'm actually in the middle of a separation right now. And unfortunately, it happens. But at the end of the day, just knowing that even my husband, even though we're separated right now, he's still, you know, my backbone. And just knowing that I'm able to provide a lifestyle for my family is absolutely amazing just by following my dreams. You know what I mean? They're living a comfortable, very comfortable life, a life where, you know, they don't have to experience some of the hardships that we did experience when we were younger, just because of the choice to follow my passion. So the fact that I'm able to do that for them really brings me joy.
So thank you, Tiffany, for being so authentic. So what breaks your heart?
Knowing that there are just honestly people out there that have no direction and no guidance simply because somebody didn't tell them they could, simply because somebody didn't give them the confidence to pursue what it is that they want to pursue, simply because they didn't have the support system that they may have needed to have that confidence. That really breaks my heart. It's sad because everybody wasn't offered the same opportunities. It's not an equal playing field out here, and it really should be. And that is really trying, and it's hard to watch. I work in the middle of the hood every single day. And, you know, every day I'm just trying to encourage somebody. You can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. It's the way we look at things, our point of view on life, that really attributes to whether you're going to be successful or not. And that mindset, if it's not instilled at a young age, 9 times out of 10, you're trying to break generational curses for the rest of your life. And it's really trying to watch, and it's hard when you believe in somebody, but they don't believe in themselves.
Talk about company culture.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a good one. Company culture is crucial to starting a business. It's not something, I always say this to people that I'm working with, you have to decide your culture from day one. Yes, it can change. It may evolve over time. That's fine. But whatever your culture is or whatever your mission is from the beginning, stick to it. Don't divert from the plan. Protect it. The same thing that I said earlier, protect it at all costs. And my company, especially anybody that works with me, will know that I am the leader, but I'm also the team player, which means that if I'm playing on the same team that you guys are playing on, I expect you to rise to the same level that I'm rising on. If I'm putting my all in, then I expect you to put your all in. It's not a dictatorship. It's camaraderie. And the way we're going to grow is we're going to grow together. Yes, I am the leader, but the more I grow, the more you grow. And that's the culture that I've cultivated in my company for my staff. As far as my children and my parents are concerned, I've created an open door policy and making sure that they understand that if there are any concerns, if there are any things that they want to discuss, it's really an open door policy. There's no judgment. There's me receiving what you have to hear and you receiving what I have to hear, and then us coming up with a solution together. And that culture has also helped my community grow. There's been plenty of people who have come in, whether it's a parent or employee, and they're used to working in cultures that are not like that. You know what I mean? So they're scared to say what's really on their mind. So I really have to encourage them, like, no, I want to know. Because honestly, I truly believe that the only way that you get better is by knowing your critiques. I want to know anything that you have to say about what you're the service that you're receiving here so that I can grow. And that with that, my team can grow as well.
We would be remiss if we made it seem for entrepreneurship that it's a bed of roses.
It's definitely not.
There's a lot of risk. Talk about your worst moment in business and what was your takeaway?
Yep. So my worst moment in business. So I decided to go into, after opening up my family childcare, I decided to go into a partnership with someone. And it was honestly because I did not have the confidence that I needed at that point in time in business to move on my own. And when I went into that partnership, it started out great. Everything was good, but it ended really, really, really bad. And it was just based off of communication. I am a really, really strong communicator. And I didn't realize that there were people out there, because again, I've been kind of, you know, in this field with, you know, with my mom and with my family who are also really strong communicators. I didn't realize that there were people out there that are not strong communicators. And they didn't realize, I didn't realize that there were people that were honestly just doing things for money. That was a no-go for me. I didn't understand that. You know what I mean? I'm working because I really want to do this, but you're working because you just want to make money. So again, making sure that you're equally yoked in business is definitely a thing. That partnership did not last long. Yeah, I wasn't aware that, you know, our passions weren't aligned, and it really ended up bad. I actually, come to find out, my business partner was misappropriating funds within our business. And when I confronted her about it, it was just a really, really bad interaction. She never came back to the business. I had to go through about 2 or 3 years of legal matters just to get her off the business and to recoup any funds that we were owed. But what that taught me is, if you go into a partnership, I'm not going to say don't go into a partnership. That's unrealistic. But what I will say that if you go into a partnership, make sure that you understand how serious that is. Make sure you understand all the legal parameters that are associated with it if things don't go well. And make sure that you're prepared to handle that, because it's much like a divorce. So be very cautious before going into a partnership with anyone.
And how do you vet a business partner?
First of all, I would want to see them in their natural environment. That's number one. I would want to see them in their natural environment. A lot of times when you're interviewing people for business partnerships or business opportunities, they send their representative. You know what I mean? They send the person that they want you to see. But I would want to see their natural environment. If I can, I would do my research on them. I would find out how they are personally, what their personal morals are, what their personal beliefs are, what their experiences in business, where I want to see some numbers. I want to see where you've taken a company from start to finish. I want to see percentages. I want to know everything. I want to know everything. So you have to do your research. You got to do it in all aspects, financially, especially financially. When you're ready to grow your business, you got to have good credit. And if both of you don't have good credit, when you're trying to establish business credit, it's going to be very difficult, because when you're establishing business credit, your personal credit is the thing that they use in lieu of that. So you have to have strong credit. You guys have to be equally yoked on all stances.
Tiffany, what problem exists in the world today that you would like to solve?
Again, I would definitely think that it's just the resources that our people have. And when I say our people, I mean African-Americans. We are limited in our resources, and it's no fault. I'm not going to say blame it on anybody or anything of that sort, but I would say that we're limited because we're not ready to go get the information. We want somebody to give us the information. So if anything, I would say knowledge is power. Just keep empowering our people. I love these YouTube tutorials, because everything becomes accessible to everybody. It puts us on the same playing field as everybody else. And it's up to us to go get it. I actually was talking to somebody else the other day, and they told me, they were like, you know, everybody gets the information, but only 1% of people will actually follow through. And I would like to see more of us. I would want to take that 1% to starting slowly, you know, to 10% of people actually following through with the information that they receive so that they can make a better lifestyle for themselves and their families.
So that's very powerful. Education. Yeah. Implication, but you have to execute. So education, that knowledge, that with no execution is
means nothing.
That's right. Just ignorance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us the story around that aha moment when you knew your business was going to be successful.
I want to say that it was probably at the end of one of my productions. And I just did not realize how much of an impact that I was having on people. I think it was my 5th year with Leaders and Legends. I've been doing business for 15 years now. However, Leaders and Legends started, I want to say about, this is their 9th year. So around the 5th year of Leaders and Legends, we had a production. We actually had just finished Annie. And people were just pouring into me saying that you can't stop. You have to keep going. Our children need you. You are needed. You are needed. You are needed. And I was like, me? I'm needed? You know what I mean? Really? Like, I knew that I was filling the financial cushion. I was filling the financial game. Yeah, I'm making money. I'm making money. That's great. But the purpose was now being noticed. People started realizing that my vision was so much bigger than money, that there was actually a purpose behind it. And I was serving a community of people that needed me. And that's what keeps me going every single day too. Every single day in the morning, you know, I don't have to come into work every day if I don't want to. I really don't have to. I'm at that point where I don't have to, but I come in every single day because I know that there's somebody here who needs me.
Now, with your childcare, is it open on the weekends?
We are not open on the weekends. We are open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Becoming Tiffany Ford. Talk about becoming.
It's really been quite a bit of evolution with becoming Tiffany Ford. When I got into business again, like I said, from the beginning, I knew nothing about entrepreneurship. It was just a thought. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but my reasoning for becoming an entrepreneur, of course, was I wanted to help others. But what really made me dive in and just go ahead and do it was I got pregnant. I was 23 years old. I got pregnant and I did not want to send my own child to daycare. So did I ever think that me opening a daycare center because I didn't want to send my child to daycare and I wanted to be an entrepreneur would turn into me having 5 locations? A performing arts center, a small business academy. I also do real estate investing. It's a lot of stuff that I do. Have an event space. It's a lot of things that I do. I didn't even talk about that. But becoming me has been the most, I want to say, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing transition. I was a person, again, never been afraid to step out on my dreams. But I've also was a person that would give. And that giving allowed me to feel drained sometimes. It allowed people to take from me during times where I really didn't have anything else to give. Now I'm at a point where I now know how to create boundaries for myself. I know how to execute the plan without giving all of me and so that I don't have enough to give to my family. You know what I mean? And a lot of that, honestly, did, you know, have to do with even my relationship with my husband. You know, we went through a lot together just because of the pull that the business had on my personal life. And I've learned how to balance that. I've learned that you can't rise with everybody. Everybody can't go with you. You can't take everybody with you. You might want to help the world, but you can't help the world unless they want to help themselves. And again, I've also learned that to align myself with like-minded people. That was definitely been a big, big, big lesson that I've learned throughout this whole course of these last 15 years and understanding when it's time to say no, not holding on to things just because you don't want to lose. You know, a lot of times we hold on to things because we feel like if I quit, I lost. No, if it's time to let it go, you let it go. And that was a really, really hard lesson for somebody who doesn't like to quit. I'm super competitive too. That's a hard lesson to learn that it's okay to say no sometimes and no to yourself, no to others. It's not wrong. So it's been a really, really lengthy process, but it's beautiful to watch. I'm totally comfortable with who I am and totally comfortable with where I'm at.
Talk about marriage, motherhood, and managing a business.
It's like I said, it's so easy to get drained when you're growing a business. A lot of the times you overextend yourself because you want everything quickly. You want instant gratification and you don't realize that slow and steady really does win the race. I guess now my daughter is 15. She will be 15 coming up very shortly. But she has expressed things to me like, Mom, you know, when I was younger, you had to miss this because you were here. You had to miss that because you were there. And those are things that I definitely regret. You know what I mean? I definitely regret having those moments where I could not be as involved with my daughter because I was growing for our family, thinking that I'm helping us. Yeah, I helped us. You know what I mean? I helped us financially. We're comfortable. But there were moments that I had to miss and sacrifice. And if I could give advice to anybody that is growing a business, it would be to really balance your time from day one. Set up systems that allow you to play, allow you to work, allow you to spend time with your family from day one. Do not overextend yourself. It's okay. Your race is your race. You're not racing against anybody else but yourself. And sometimes social media and Instagram and Facebook, it makes us think that we have to be doing everything right now. We don't have to be doing everything right now. Take your time. It allows you to build a solid foundation and you won't have to go back and like do over. You know what I mean? I spent a lot of time reconstructing and refiguring because I had to take into accountability what my family was saying.
You mentioned the word play.
Mm-hmm.
How did you play or how will you play today?
Today. So today is Wednesday. Wednesday is actually my long day. So what I will do is make sure that when I get home this evening, I'm going to get home around 7 p.m. I've been out the house since 9 a.m. So I'm going to get home around 7. When I get home this evening, I'm going to make sure I have a nice glass of wine. I'm going to sit down in my room. I have a she room. I'm going to sit down in my room and I'm going to make sure that I watch the movie that I want to watch before I go to bed. And I'm going to have some me time because that's important. It's so, self-care is super important. And my daughter knows, okay, she's in her room. I'm not supposed to bother her. So that's what's going to happen on Wednesday. It's Wednesday today. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some me time tonight.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I want you to exhale. And you kind of glossed over all that you're doing. But mm-hmm. I want you to really shine the light on your awesomeness. And as much as you want to share, tell us what Tiffany Ford is involved in, all that you want to share, all your business ventures. Go at it.
Okay. Of course, I have Little Leaders Learning Academy that has 3 locations. I have Stages Community School that has 2 locations. I am an owner of Leaders and Legends Performing Arts Academy that is now in the process of merging with a Leaders and Legends Performing Arts Preschool. We're adding a preschool department to our Performing Arts Academy. So we're going to be starting at a younger age with childcare and merging arts and education. We actually just got that building last October. We're just passed inspection last week for the health department. So we'll be opening that within the next few weeks. I have a best friend who we have an event business together. We have a event boutique. It's called the Philadelphia Event Boutique. It's located in Philadelphia. We rent it out for private parties, birthday parties, baby showers, whatever you need. We have it. That's been booking fluidly. It's been amazing. I enjoy that process as well because I just like being able to provide a place where people can go and feel comfortable. That's awesome. I have a home in Florida, which I am doing real estate investment with. I currently Airbnb that property. People are renting that on a daily basis. So I'm beginning to create these passive income opportunities. And I run, honestly, the most successful thing to me is I've run 2 multi-million dollar companies by myself. And that is an amazing thing for someone to be 38 years old. I bought my house cash. You know what I mean? Like I've done it all. And it's just from hard work and being disciplined. I'm out here. I'm shining the light on myself. I'm out here and I'm proud of myself. I really am. And sometimes I don't take the time to acknowledge all that I do because I have a lot of gifts and a lot of skills. But all while doing all of that, I've stayed true to myself. There's nobody that can walk up to me on the street and say, oh, she was acting funny. She was this. No, I'm always me. And that's just who I am.
Tiffany, thank you so much for shining the awesomeness on who you are. Just this amazing, phenomenal Black woman. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
If you conducted this interview, what is the one question you would have asked yourself? I want you to ask the question and answer it.
Okay. I think I would have asked myself, what strategies did you use to market your business? And the reason I would have asked myself is because that's the number one question that I get when I'm helping people. How do you market your business? So the answer to that question is this. I know we have social media and that's a great platform for free advertisement, but don't count out word of mouth. Statistics say that 63% of business traffic comes from word of mouth. And word of mouth doesn't mean just me telling you about the company. It means cold calls. It means you not being afraid to share your story with whoever comes your way if you think that you can benefit them. Being confident to sell your services on the spot, emphasizing what it is that you provide, how you can help them solve the problem that they have, and what your fees are up front. That is the best way to get clients. Word of mouth is the way to drive traffic to your company. Another thing is to make sure that you have a strong system for generating leads. A lot of the times we have people come to us and we say, okay, we want this, we want that. But what is your system to keep track of who's interested in your services? Because while they might not buy right now or they might not be interested right now, you need to be able to go to them later at a time where they may be ready to get your services, whether or not it's an email distribution list, whether or not it's phone numbers, whether or not it's cold calling again. You want to have a system to keep up with that information, and being organized is key with that.
Tiffany, I could stay on all day. You are just a wealth of knowledge. We've come to the part of our interview. It's called Rapid Round of Fun. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and I want you to give me very quick answers. If there's something you desire not to answer, feel free to say pass. Are you ready for the rapid round of fun?
I am ready.
Your ideal car?
I'm going to say a Maserati.
Your favorite color?
Purple.
Your first job?
I worked as a junior intern at a summer camp, where it was actually a summer literacy camp. So I was a junior servant leader. It was called Philadelphia Freedom Schools.
The last movie you saw?
I'm a repeat offender. I like The Bodyguard, so I watched that last night.
You relax doing what?
Vacationing and traveling.
Your favorite singer or rapper?
Whitney Houston, of course.
Your favorite dance song?
My favorite dance song, I love Cardi B. So anything Cardi B, I'm there.
What food you eat every week, no matter what?
Chicken.
Your comfort food?
Ooh, seafood. Anything seafood. I love crabs.
Workout or hit the couch?
I am a hit the couch type person, believe it or not. I just feel like I work out all day. I'm walking back and forth all day. I don't need to work out. I'm good.
Tiffany Ford, thank you so much for joining us on Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast. Before we let you go, share with our audience the best way for them to connect with you and to do business with you. And feel free to leave all your social media handles.
Sure. The best way to reach me, honestly, and you can get to all of my social media handles from those, is Tiffany, the Small Biz Guru on Instagram. It's actually Tiffany _ the Small Biz Guru on Instagram. If you hit that link right there, if you hit the link in my bio, all of my other businesses will pop up and you'll be able to reach me from there. So inbox me, DM me. I am a wealth of information. I can help you probably start any business that you want to start, even though I'm a childcare provider. I have the knowledge. I have the skill. I have the skill set. Once you have a formula, you just wash, rinse, and repeat.
Thank you, Tiffany. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to Black Entrepreneur Experience. We would love for you to leave a review and rating on iTunes and share with your friends. For show notes and more episodes, go to www.beepodcast.com. Join us next Wednesday, and remember, green is the new black. So keep your bank accounts and your business in the black.